Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Zyer, and Alex Albers!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman! Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming out on this snowy evening.
Yeah, it's really tough to get out. It's tough to get anywhere.
Transportation is difficult when it snows.
Yeah, is the thing that happens.
Yeah, that happens a lot to anyone. It can happen to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely anyone.
Hosts, guests.
Here's the deal. Just to put it out there, Brian Lee O'Malley is going to be here
as promised.
Don't worry, he is on his way from the airport right now after being trapped in Charlotte for about 5 or 6 hours. But he's on his way. He's about 10 minutes away or so.
He's going to be ready to talk comics. Yeah, going to look forward to it.
Yeah, but we have something just as good for you guys. Three guys you don't care about. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Well, another piece of news. We just found out today that we're going to be interviewing Joss Whedon at Comic-Con, which it's been a lifelong dream of Alex.
Yeah. We're not going to be interviewing.
Though
we're
Alex,
not allowed.
Alex put the point out there that we are actually not allowed to be in the room.
Well, here's the thing. They would totally... All right. They would horn in on it, and they would...
I'm hardly a horner.
They would take some of my Whedon time. I have been waiting... This is the culmination of my entire life. And after this, I'm finally done with comics.
Oh, no! No!
Who's going to stop you from kissing him?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Well, nobody, really.
Oh, no! Oh, come on.
I'll save that for the interview.
I already have
some great questions to ask him. Like? I do. Well, first thing I'm going to be is like, well, you're pretty great.
That's not actually a question. No, keep on.
That's all I got. That's all I got. And then I expect we'll go for, like, I don't know, a couple of years.
Yeah, right.
Well, we have a great show for you guys.
Yeah, we do.
We are here right now. After that, we're going to go into our first section called Killing Time.
That's Boothman with our music.
It's going well, guys. Keep it cool.
Exactly. Nice. First thing we're going to do is a section we like to call the stack. So
the
let's
stack.
Get
yeah.
Woo! So let's get right into it with Final Crisis 7 of 7. This is very weird. I usually pass this over to the guests.
Yeah, it's me. I'm a guest.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, Justin.
This show is terrible. When you get on the guest couch.
What did you guys think of Final Crisis 7? This is literally the weirdest thing that has ever happened.
Well, I really am happy that Grant Morrison tied everything up in a neat little bow and just made everything make sense and really just ironed it all out, all the questions that we had.
You're being sarcastic. Yeah.
If you haven't been reading this, it's like walking around a museum and being like, oh, that's an interesting picture. Oh, that's an unrelated and also interesting picture. But there's no real reason they should tell a story because they're just hanging in a museum together. And this kind of continues that trend. But, I mean, it's a cool, all the ideas are really interesting.
That's the thing that's very weird about it. I mean, Grant Morrison is a great writer. He has great ideas. Just this doesn't hold together at all as a story, not even remotely.
It's really quite confusing. Yeah, yeah. He's just somewhere sitting in a room on a pile of money, just like, I fooled you all.
Don't you think there's more comfortable places than a pile of money?
I don't think there is. I don't think there is.
Also, he is a comic book writer. Maybe a pile of coins. Or his own comic books. Well, the big thing, they killed Batman. Batman was killed in the last issue, yeah. I don't know if you probably heard about that. And then in the very end of this, if I can spoil it for you, it doesn't matter, it won't make sense anyway. But Batman is in a cage, or cave, writing on a wall.
Yeah. He's actually drawing a little bat on the wall.
Yeah. Just so you know, it was Batman.
Yeah.
Well, so Batman didn't die. He went back or forward in time and is now living in a cave.
I think he went forward in time to that last man.
Right.
The last The Last Man.
That's stupid.
Not a lot of crime to fight.
Was there? Was
there only one other human?
Was there anything you guys liked about this issue?
I did like the flash part where they were outrunning the bullets and really slow-moving knives. I thought that was fun.
Cool, cool. Justin, anything you liked about this?
I like Frankenstein. He's riding a bunch of giant animals. Always been a dream of mine to see. Dreams do come true.
I like that there was actually an explanation for this being a final crisis. You know, Morrison's always very involved in talking about stories and meta-stories about stories and whatnot, and this is the final story about the monitors. That turns out kind of, I guess, is what the point of the series was. And good, because I don't want to read any of those anymore.
Yeah. Boring. It's such a boring concept. Yeah. Like, they're a bunch of guys that sit and watch things.
Wow.
It's really an interesting metaphor. Right? Yeah. If you think about it.
Yeah. Would you say pick it up?
No. None of the crises.
It's worth picking up.
Oh, that's really weird.
Go to a museum.
Okay. Let's move on to talk about Punisher War Zone at number 6.
Oh, yeah.
As a resident. Huh? Keep adding to you. It's automatically.
Unbelievable. It was a couple scary 2 minutes when Garth Ennis left the Punisher and then came back, so I'm just glad that he's back. But this story is fantastic. He does a really great job of, like, making a character, the female cop, and you hate her, and you kind of like, oh man, she's so hardcore and hates the Punisher, then does just an amazing job of putting her in a situation where she has to go against...
He does an amazing job of tearing her clothes off.
No, the bullets tear her clothes off. And then some of it catches on fire.
I think the writer is the one.
Come on, that's nothing to do with the Punisher. He didn't do that.
Who are the Punisher fans in the crowd? Are there?
Yeah!
quiet Punisher fan? I'm not a Punisher fan, and this was good. This was a good story. Yeah. It's a nice... A bad guy makes... The Punisher's like only fear, I guess, is this woman. Ma Noki? Nochi?
Well, Nyaki.
Yeah. Potato pasta. And so this guy...
He hates potato pasta.
This guy...
It's too heavy, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially when you gotta shoot a lot of people.
At lunchtime, especially.
Yeah. Too many carbs.
Pasta club. Thank you. No guest club. This... So the bad guy, makes people... forces people to get plastic surgery to look like this woman that's supposed to scare the Punisher. And it doesn't work. And he shoots everyone.
Yeah, the story is better than what you just made
it's
up.
It's really enjoyable.
It's all story.
I was not crazy. You know, for those of you who don't know, Garth Ennis had a seminal run on the Punisher for the Max title. I wasn't crazy about his last arc. I think it was well written like everything else, but it didn't really have a slam bang ending. And this is the fun, ridiculous action movie with a guy having sex with a pumpkin and lesbian.
Standard action movie. Pumpkin fucking.
You've seen Transformers.
Yeah. I'm right with you. I was just for the audience.
I appreciate
catching them up with your fetish.
This is great. This is really a lot of fun. It's very funny. It's really enjoyable. It is good action. And I think it does what any good Punisher story does, which is not really pay attention to the Punisher.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. I like the photographers warming up the camera on us. It's good practice.
You got to do that. So pick it up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, let's move on and talk about The Umbrella Academy, Dallas, number 3. Umbrella Academy was one of... I'm going to pass it this way.
Yeah.
Umbrella Academy was one of our favorite series of the past year. What do you guys think about this issue?
Well, when you set the bar so high, you always wonder about the next arc, whether or not it's going to be as good. I definitely think this is picking right up where it left off. It's doing amazing stuff, and especially this issue really cranks it up. A lot of action, a lot of stuff going down in this issue. I don't want to spoil anything.
You can go ahead and spoil it.
I don't know. You said a lot of stuff went down.
Well,
really tipping the hat a little bit.
Yeah. Well, people are dying. It's crazy, but it's
every day, man.
Well, you know, you set up like main characters, and you're it's don't kill the main characters, but they're pushing envelope of this a little bit, so it's intense.
Justin,
It's a great series. It's by the guy from My Chemical Romance. If you're into that band. This is not like their songs at all. It's more of a story than their songs. And it's a great read. Very imaginative.
They have some pretty good stories in Black Parade.
Oh, nice.
That's the only reference I have.
Yeah.
This is great. This is really well done. The thing that we talked about with the last series is that from a rock star, you would not expect a good series. You would expect, like, man, the fans will buy it, and then we're done. But he clearly cares about comics, and he clearly cares about crafting a story, which is really nice. And here, we're dealing with a lot of time travel stuff. It's actually, the most surprising thing about this series, one of the things I think we liked about the previous series, is that it was very Morrison-esque in the best sense, where it was all over the place, crazy ideas. It seemed to gel, but in very esoteric ways. This is actually much more straightforward, I think.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
He actually took comic book classes at SVU. Or SVA, School of Visual Arts.
He went on Law and Order.
No, he took classes in SUV. I was touring with the band.
I took classes at Criminal Intent, which were interesting because you get a very different viewpoint.
Yeah.
I'm old school with my comic book classes. I was all Miami Vice.
Yeah, cool.
I tried.
Was that
thank you.
Oofer,
thank
don't
you.
Ever bring up Miami Vice.
God, real Vice fan.
Yeah, the movie wasn't that good. I'll put that out there.
No, it was. With bold stance.
I'm sorry, guys. I just wasn't crazy about it. It was okay. That's my strong stance on it.
Quit backpedaling.
So pick this up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
The art's amazing.
Hooray! All right, let's move on to talk about Justice Society of America number 23. Mm. Finally getting back to Black Adam and the Marvel family.
You're being a little sarcastic because all this title just had like a 2 years story arc. It lasted way too long, and before that it was all about the Marvel family. Now it's back on Shazam and Black Adam and all this, and I just think it's crazy that they're back on.
Yeah, it's,
give it a rest.
I love Geoff Johns. I love his work. I think he's great. He's a great writer. He does a really good job of crafting old school stories. Obviously,
but
he has also a great affinity for both the Justice Society of America and Black Adam. But I agree with you, it's too soon, it's not interesting. I could be wrong about this, but they had a Black Adam storyline before the 23-part, or whatever it was, King and Hunt storyline, and they've appeared throughout the DC universe, so I don't know why we need to see them yet.
Yeah. There are other characters.
There are.
Cool. Good insight about that. Pete, what did you think about this?
I think it blows. It blows from start to finish. I'm not saying anything about Geoff Johns. Geoff Johns does amazing work, but this is just, Black Adam's angry, his wife's more angry than he is, and then they're just going into, it was just really, I can't even.
You seem sickened by the
Yeah, life. Just the thought of it, I'm like, oh, I don't want to puke on the show.
That's a great impulse. Follow that impulse.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's the first thing they teach you in acting classes is don't puke on stage.
Yeah. Unless you're being told to puke on stage.
Right. There's a lot of actors that can puke on command, which is a really, really valuable skill. You've seen Transformers.
Yeah. Exactly. It happened right after the pumpkin fucking scene. Vomitorium. Great.
So I'd say don't pick this up, right?
Yeah, you don't have to pick this up.
That's weird. We love JSA. We love Geoff Johns. I don't know what's going on. Let's move on. Talk about X-Men Worlds Apart number 4.
Yeah.
We have liked this series. Did we like this issue?
Collected we.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. Yeah, it's nice to. It's a 4-issue miniseries, which are usually kind of unnecessary and sometimes bad. But this is nice. It really explores Storm, who I don't usually like, in a nice way. It follows her, keeping up with current continuity, bringing in old continuity. It's a nice story.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic Storm story that. It's done in such a smart way that makes and ended in such a great issue here that I was very happy that I read all the other issues. I was just like, oh, what a great way to tie this up and make it not only a good story, but it was also kind of like put Storm on a higher level for me. Where before I was like, she's all right, I kind of enjoy her. Now I'm looking forward to her next story arc. Hopefully, it'll be as good.
I really did. I agree. I thought this was great. It was a really nice wrap up. One thing we were talking about with the series. For those of you who don't know, Storm is married to the Black Panther in the Marvel Universe, and there was...
Not because he's the only other black mainstream character.
Right. Oh, definitely not.
That's not it. They just fell in love, right?
Right.
Okay.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, pretty cool. So everybody thought this series was about breaking them up and moving her back into the X-Men, and that was pretty much it. But it turns out this was just a really good Storm story.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange, that there wasn't any... You know, when we live in an age where... we live in a time. Well, most comic miniseries and events are about pushing things forward in continuity, finding some new place for the character to be, and this was just about, hey, I have a good idea for a Storm story, let's do that.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Hooray.
Surprising. Well, Chris Yost is a great writer.
He does an amazing job. Let me ask you guys a question just based on this. Is... I feel like there's way too many X-Men series coming out right now. It seems in particular. I'm sorry.
But not enough.
No, I think they were murmuring in agreement.
Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Seven.
There's seven of them. Is that overkill?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Two quiet yeses. And the world has spoken. People keep buying them. What can you say?
People are stupid.
People are stupid, yeah. There's your answer.
Well, do you keep buying them?
Well, I'm a biased buyer. Because I work in a comic book show, so I read a lot.
What's that
work.
Like?
Yeah, this is work.
What do you guys
think? Right. Pete, what about you? Do you feel like there's too many X-Men series right now?
I definitely. Well, this is also coming from a guy who buys every Wolverine one shot that comes out. But
people are stupid.
Sucker for what I like. But no, I feel that it's. There are a lot out, but I feel like if it sucks, you know, you don't have to pick it up. But it just sucks that because there's so many out, other people might not pick up this one, which is actually good. So.
Hey, I have a fun game for you guys. You want to write a Wolverine one-shot?
Yeah.
Okay, so Wolverine, I'm going to just put in some blanks. Okay, so Wolverine goes to...
A bar. The Rock.
Very encounters a specific type of person.
Criminal.
Yeah. He was really into type of crime.
Pumpkin fucking. Not technically a crime, sorry.
And so he decides to blank.
Hide.
For
doesn't hide.
This is a new one shot, alright? We're doing whatever we say.
In
Wolverine, hide and seek.
Name a place of Wolverine.
Pete's bedroom.
And then Pete decides to...
You're in the story!
Pete is a young boy who loves Wolverine.
Yeah.
And...
They're going to say blank.
Blank.
Wolverine.
This is a horrible madness.
No, hold on, we're getting somewhere, I'm sure.
We would have done this even if Riley O'Malley was here. Because we're professional.
And then Wolverine and Pete team up to blank...
Each other?
Where
do we go?
The criminal. Like.
Oh, yeah. Kiss.
Oh, wait, no, you shouldn't write this one shot.
Come on. Pete. Spoiler.
Went to a Rageaholic class.
All right, that's another terrible idea.
That's a great idea for your life, though. Please go do that. Even if Wolverine's not there.
Well, it's the only way I would go.
And because of that, the criminal decides to...
kill?
Pete. I filled in that blank.
Yeah, you have that.
And there's your Wolverine one-shot. Alright, so we're going to go to our next section. Don't worry, this is getting somewhere. This is all building towards something. Which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yay! Yay.
The graphic is here.
First thing we're going to talk about is a new episode of Heroes was on last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's watching Heroes out there?
Yay. the apathetic masses.
There's two of them.
That's,
I love it.
This was actually a much better episode than other ones.
I was totally shocked. I mean, as you guys know, I hate Heroes. I think it's probably the worst show I've ever seen.
Wow.
Come on. No, really. It's the worst show. It barely holds together from minute to minute.
That's without even bringing in Milo Ventimiglia's terrible, terrible acting.
Oh,
well, come on.
Huh?
He's horrible, but, you know.
No, there's so much to be
He's got cool powers.
Yeah, that's true.
He can do everything.
Yeah, he can do
everything.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey! Hey!
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello. I was keeping your cap warm. Here's a water.
Good.
There you go.
Welcome to the show.
Hooray!
We didn't talk about comic books?
Yeah.
We're done talking about heroes. first of all, how was your flight?
It was really long. I was supposed to be in town at 2:40, and I just got in like half an hour ago. Yeah, apparently it snowed here.
Yeah, that's what I didn't notice.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you for rushing over here and everything. So let's.
Do you want a minute before we start harassing you?
But you guys should introduce yourselves.
Okay. Oh, to you.
The introduction. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
That's our band of the booth.
Booth man.
That's the audience.
Audience.
We're audience.
They were more excited until we killed their enthusiasm.
Well, you had some time.
Yeah, certainly did.
We sure did. So let's talk about Scott Pilgrim. A new volume is coming out tonight.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show. Woo! So what do we have to look forward to in the new volume?
It's hard to describe. It has robots.
Nice.
I usually say that first because it's... Actually, I haven't said it before. I haven't really talked about it much. So I'm kind of at a loss. It's got robots.
Well, I think one thing that's been prevalent throughout the series is Scott has been growing up as a character. Is that something that is the overarching mission goal for the series, or?
Yeah. I would say it's more like about him, his personal growth, rather than it being like about the relationship per se,
mm-hmm.
or fighting for robots. I want him to have an arc and be the one who grows and changes. Hopefully becomes like a little bit better by the end, which hasn't happened yet.
Well, I think it became a little bit better in the last volume, right?
No.
Okay, I misinterpreted that. And just to clear up something, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. So there's 6 volumes in the series, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a little bit of confusion just because a lot of people thought it was 7 volumes, but it's 6 volumes.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
7 is a better number of bad guys, but 6 is a better number of books.
Yeah,
there's less for me to do.
And you almost literally just finished the book, right?
Seriously. Today's February 3rd. I finished it on January 2nd. So.
Wow.
It's not very long ago. That's how comics works, at least at Oni Press.
Well, what's involved in that? What's your process in putting together this volume? I mean, do you start with script? Do you start with the art? Or?
I was kind of like reminiscing about it yesterday because I'm trying to write the next one right now. So I started writing this book like before the last book even came out, like because I had I had a month between finishing it and when it came out. So I'm going to write this book right away, and then it didn't turn out so well. So I went back to the drawing board or writing board, I guess, a couple times. It took me like almost 8 months to get it to a place where I wanted it, where I was satisfied. And then that was May this year, or last year now. God, time. then I was drawing. I didn't really start drawing it until July, August. And then so it was like 6 months of drawing pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Has the process changed at all from the first one all the way up to now?
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, I don't have a word for that, but it's like this.
I got you.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing for the most part. So the last 2 books definitely I've been wanting to do more of a script, like write it more like how you write a screenplay or something, and have it really solid and kind of do a lot of drafts and be a good writer, I guess. So I don't think it. I don't know. I'm always down on like the previous book, but so volume 4 sucked. Volume 5 is not bad.
Do you find when you're sitting down to do the art, and you're spending all that time on it, you go back and change the script at all? I mean, are there
See, that's the thing. That's why I wanted to make the script better this time, was because I always ended up rewriting, like, Volume 4, I think I probably rewrote 95% of it, like, as I was drawing it.
Wow.
And sometimes it's not good, because in the end it might not make sense, because you're rewriting it without, like, kind of looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So with 5, I stuck to the script a lot more, I think. Which I think turned out for the best. Yeah. How about I'm loud enough?
Oh, you're doing a great job.
How do you feel how much of the arc of the 6 books was planned out in advance, and how much of it has changed along the way?
It was planned out in like paragraphs that were like about that long. Like I'm, 3 inches. For the
that's
close. Right back home.
Yep. I need 3 inches by noon.
Yeah. Exactly. So I wrote those like in 2005, I guess, like right after the first book. And I don't know how, I haven't looked at the one for Volume 5 in a while, so I don't remember like how close it was. It's probably not very close at all.
Well, do you feel like there's a character in particular or characters that emerged more than you expected them to at the beginning?
I think everyone does to a degree. But probably Kim Pine is the one who kind of grew the most. Especially in the 5th book. Maybe you'll see later today. She was not, I mean, everyone to some degree. Like in the original notes was like, Scott was even supposed to like break up with Knives like right away, like a good guy.
Yeah.
But instead he's kind of a dipshit. So that just came out when I was writing it. He wasn't in the plan. And a lot of like stuff like flashbacks in the first 2 books were like, just kind of grew organically, I guess.
Because Scott is kind of a jerk, do you ever find that you hate him while you're writing him, or is it...
No, I always kind of like him.
Yeah.
Little guy.
He's an endearing jerk.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, he's a jerk in ways that I'm a jerk, but I have more non-jerky qualities, too. I think I just focus on that in the book, because it's more interesting to write.
Yeah. What do you like better, writing or drawing?
I don't know. I like the whole thing.
Okay.
It's just, I think they feel more and more separate, kind of the more craft I develop in either of them. But there's also this like point where they all come together, which is kind of the magic of comics, and that's my favorite part.
Awesome. So you probably get this a lot, but do you have a plan for after the 6th volume is done? Do you have something, ideas?
Well, it's similar. I have like the 3 inches of plan. Like,
Stick with it. It's
stick
working.
With 3 inches, yeah. Yeah. I have like 3 or 4 little ideas that are just kind of bobbing away in the back of the swimming pool of my brain.
Yeah.
Everyone does ask me that now, which is, that's good. It's a new question.
Great. Also, another big thing that's going on is the movie. How
have you heard about this?
There's actually a movie being made.
Apparently, yeah.
So,
are you leaving? We just got it.
The couch is taking me.
It does that most of the time.
Okay, yeah. Let's back on topic.
Yeah, so let's talk about the movie. This is pretty exciting, right? How involved are you in the process? I mean, it seems like. For everything I'm reading, pretty involved, right?
Yeah, I'm very involved. I think it's like every other cartoonist in my position would be jealous of me. I'm sorry, guys. But it's like they've kept me really involved. Like, and every day I'm like, this is it. This is the day that they're gonna stop talking to me about this movie. I fucking hope they do, but they don't. So I'm still involved. They keep sending me stuff. They keep asking me if stuff is cool. And so far, it has been cool, which is really weird.
The cast looks great. I mean,
it
keeps growing.
I'm pleased with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you're not excited about?
Yeah.
Just really get
into
it.
See, I don't think I would be able to say that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think there is anyone that I'm not excited
That's a great answer.
And is the... you know, I don't know how much you talk about this, but the current plan right now is to do all six books in one movie, right?
Yeah.
Are you worried at all? Is there any too much condensing going on there, or is it?
I have been, like, from time to time. We just finished a new draft, but I've read the new draft and, like, you know, given my notes and stuff. So, and with each subsequent draft, it's gotten so much closer to how I would see it, which is really cool. But the other thing is to remember that it's Edgar Wright, and his stuff is just so insanely fast-paced, but without feeling like that.
Right.
So I have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, me too. I don't get to talk to him as much as you do.
Probably. Sorry.
I try.
Every day we try. Let's turn it over to you guys for our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to the Booth Bay.
Except for me.
Booth Bay!
Oh, wow.
Today is a good day.
Wow. Just so you guys know, Booth Man lives in the booth.
It's great. So I got a bunch of questions.
Awesome.
A lot of them to this guy. I don't know why, but all right. Do you have the last page of the Scott Pilgrim saga planned, or
no?
Great.
Just scroll through like 10 or 20.
Well, is there? You know, we talked a little bit about the plan, but you have a rough idea.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple scenes from towards the end, like that I've had in my head like forever. Harry Potter style, but I don't honestly. No, I can't. I can't say. I have no idea.
Well, what do you, you know, there's definitely a debate, I think, in the geek community, because there's a lot of stuff where, like, well, things like Lost, where people are like, oh, they have no plan, so angry at them. And does it make more sense to just see where the characters take you, or does it make more sense to have a plan?
It's got to be a bit of both, I think. Like, I have a plan, but it's a plan that's open enough that I can still surprise myself, mm-hmm. which I think has worked out so far. Hopefully I can bring it all home, but we'll see.
Of the volumes that have come out already that we've all read, what's something in particular that really surprised you that happened?
Did Scott's live this long?
Well, the thing about him not breaking up from the Nice when he was supposed to was that's the major one that I can think of. And all of Volume 3. Some stuff happened.
You just woke up and it was typed on your desk.
Yeah,
that would actually be elves. That definitely helps.
Yeah, definitely elves.
Yeah,
or underpants.
I wouldn't say there's like a lot of stuff that's really come out of nowhere for me. And there's stuff in the fifth one that was more surprising. I can remember more because it was more recently, but I can't tell you yet. Because you haven't read it.
Oh, man. A couple more hours.
Well, we're going to go to a couple more questions, but raise your hand if you ask that question, and we have a really cool prize for whoever's question we read. We're going to give you a free weekend pass to Comic-Con this
week. Yeah! We'll be there. He'll be there.
You'll be there. Let's get to the next question.
If you were forced to write a mainstream superhero comic, which would it be, and what would it be like?
Nice.
It would be one of the ones that has girl at the end of the title, like Batgirl. Because I like girls.
I hear you.
I don't really. To be honest, I'd probably write something about the X-Men, but I would be like all diva and like not want to observe continuity and stuff.
We just wrote a Wolverine
like
one shot.
I'm into like 80s X-Men. Like, I know that's a huge spectrum of X-Men, but
the Claremont era.
Yeah, right? You know, before it all just went stupid. But yeah, I'm into both the early 80s like kind of John Romita Jr. stuff, and then the later 80s like Mark Silvestri stuff, which isn't really that early and late. It's like, you know, it's like 50 issues apart, but. You know, I would want to do a team that's like Let's do this. Let's nerd it up.
Yeah.
Havok and Dazzler and some other girls. Rogue. Oh, and Rachel from the future. She's my favorite. So yeah, basically my idea for the X-Men was that it would be like a school story. We have this guy who like, who's Havok, who like gets put on this like team like project or whatever with like all these girls who are like kind of fucked up. Like like Rachel is like, she's from the future, or she says she's from the future.
She's kind of crazy.
So yeah, it would just be kind of like this, you know, 90210 thing. What about nerds?
Team project.
Well, I don't know what it would be exactly.
Like a task, like build this garden.
Yeah. So, you get assigned to like a team, an X team.
What do you read? What do you get time?
Like these kind of things?
No.
I haven't had a comic store in a while because I moved last year and a new comic store just opened. I went there like for the first time on my own like yesterday.
You're allowed to go on your own.
Yeah.
I know, but it just opened and I was drawing a book until recently. So, all I bought was Razzle.
Just goodbye.
I haven't read it yet. So
it's good.
Apparently, it's good.
It reads so quickly. You'll be done with it and be like, wow, that's it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I went for the trade. So you read in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
As opposed to three.
Cool. Raise your hand if you have a question. Pete's going to bring you a pass to Comic-Con.
All right.
And you're getting a kiss.
Yeah.
And let's get to the next question.
What is your take on the whole Diamond Minimum Threshold adjustments? would it have killed Scott Pilgrim / Lost at Sea?
I don't know. My publisher says it wouldn't have. he understands the business better than I do. So I'm going to say no. I know the first Scott Pilgrim supposedly had lower orders than Lost at Sea, which...
But they were still above what would now be the diamond cutoff.
Would have helped the audience.
they were apparently still above the diamond cutoff.
Apparently.
I don't know. I don't know the numbers. You know. I mean, I know the number, but I don't know what it means.
Well, what did they raise it to? It was from 1,500 to 2,500. For those of you who don't know about the diamond list, it's basically the way every comic shop orders their comics. They just raised the minimum order from 1,500 to 2,500.
And there's a big controversy because it's killing a lot of small presses whose books sell for like $3, and you know they don't hit that mark. Right. But I mean, I guess with Scott Pilgrim, it sells
for more. With the original graphic novel, it has a higher price point. I guess that probably changes things. Yeah. But you know, I really don't know enough to like go into a discussion. Like, I could just like.
Yeah. Neither
rant.
Do we.
Yeah. Yeah. We should get that guy up.
I'm professional to rant. Yeah. About this time.
Raise your hand if you ask the question. And let's get the next one.
So.
All right, well, I'll hold on to it.
this is a question for Pete and Alex.
Oh.
What?
Sorry, yeah. Justin.
Sorry, Justin.
Let's go, Brian and I'll talk.
Do your wives hate that you spend so much time and money on comics? Are they totally into it? And if so, do you guys... I didn't read the back of this question. Comic book role play in the bedroom.
Wait, is the question, do Pete and I comic book role play in the bedroom? Because yes.
Also,
he's Wolverine. He's the Hulk.
You wouldn't like me when I'm erect.
We're not very creative.
It's all headed toward one thing.
Wow, well,
yeah,
really
pretty much.
I need to prepare more.
Yeah. Read both sides of a piece of paper.
See, I'm not married, so I don't have to answer the question.
Yeah. But you do have a girlfriend that you live with.
And I do a lot of comic book play. In the bedroom, specifically.
I just hate how you were like, when you were talking right there. That
was like, I just wanted to give you a little preview. A spoiler, if you will.
I hope you're not spoiling your girlfriend.
She asked for it. Terrible.
I guess the deal I made was that I couldn't have the huge white boxes all over the apartment, so I have my comics in really nice wicker baskets.
That's a big admission, man. Yeah.
Well, that was the deal we struck.
She got you good.
Whatever, I still get to buy as many comics as I want.
Until you run out of wicker baskets.
Never run out of wicker baskets.
see, what I'm doing, which is kind of fun, is I'm building a maze on the floor with all my piles of comics. And I'm like, come and find me. she never does. Yeah.
Surprising.
Yeah. raise your hand if you ask the question.
Thanks.
And do we have another question? Did you read both sides? Okay.
Maybe. What publisher should I pitch my full color tween comic to?
Tonight, I would go with Oni Press.
I don't know. This is complicated.
I would say all of them, right?
All of them, yeah.
I mean, this is the perennial question, and I hesitate to ask it because it's different for everybody and it's not applicable to anybody else, but how did you get into comics?
It's always complicated, I think. I kind of always wanted to make comics, so I was kind of making comics online, and then I happened to have some friends who got a book with Image back in like the early 2000s called Last Shot. And so I kind of was living with them at the time, and I lettered it for them and stuff, and that's how I got my first professional credit. And then I met James at Oni, and he liked my stuff, even though it was crappy. So he let me do some like odd jobs, like I inked an issue of Queen of Country, and did some other stuff, and I penciled and inked a miniseries for another writer for them. And then I pitched my first book, and then it was just kind of, you know, like that. But I was also at the same time lettering like every book that Oni did for a while, which was really depressing. I did all the grunt work at the same time.
And I mean, in terms of tween books, you know, besides which is amazing.
Well, my wife does that kind of book, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What she would say, I don't know what she would say. She'd call her. She has an agent. She would be a strong advocate for trying to get an agent, I think. But if you're just starting out, I don't know. I mean, there's Oni. Who else is there? There's Top Shelf. There's Ad House. There's First Second is for full color stuff. I don't know. I might need an agent for them. It's complicated. It's different now than it was when I first wrote it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, with the internet, I mean, I think that'd be a good avenue to.
Well, yeah,
I would do it
as a webcomic. That would be my first thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, with any industry, it's a catch-22 where people don't necessarily want to do something with somebody who hasn't done anything before.
Yeah.
But you do have this opportunity if you put up and self-publish where you can say, oh, I published with blah, blah, blah press, which obviously you made up and it's just you.
A lie. You want them to lie.
Yeah, that's how Breaking Comics is lie. Like, yes, I did 50 issues of X-Men and they went very well.
Nice.
That's how I.
That's well. You're in, kid.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask the question. Pete's gonna bring you a prize. And thank you, Booth Man.
Thank you, Booth Man.
We're gonna skip around a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah, let's just have a little fun. We're skipping around a little bit. Go back to the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna go back to the stand. We don't necessarily need to talk about Heroes anymore, unless you guys...
No.
Do you watch Heroes?
I don't watch Heroes. I watched the first episode, and it almost made me puke.
Nice. We were talking about that,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Cool. What we are going to talk about, though, is New York Comic Con, which is the next thing. That's a picture of it.
Wow.
Yay. Yeah, all right. What are you guys looking forward to at New York Comic Con? Pete, you got something?
Well, they always have amazing panels.
There are people there.
There are people, some are in costume. There's a floor and ceilings.
Why do you ask if you're going to bust my balls? I'm looking forward to what they're going to say at the Dark Reign panel. I think that's the one I'm most looking forward to. Also, a friend of mine is doing a panel, so I'm excited to check that out.
It's
an Asian American in Superheroes panel, and he does Secret Asian Man, so I'm going to go and support that.
Plug, nice.
Nice.
Just Asian. I don't know. We don't ever actually really get to go to do a lot of panels, go to see a lot of panels. So it's really cool just to walk around. I'm into going and checking out, talking to people. It's nice because some people actually recognize us now. So that's like a big little party.
oh, sorry.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, what you said, just I think we mentioned it earlier, but we're doing stuff in the Newsarama booth, so come and say hello to us.
Yeah.
But we're usually busy doing that. Hopefully at Breakaway, they're showing the last Futurama movie, and I'm going to sign up for Futurama, so hopefully you can go see that. That would be cool. You have a bunch of stuff that you're doing at the Common, though, so.
Yeah, I have no idea.
well, you have your own panel. It's
I do have a panel. It's on Sunday, I think at 1:30.
Yeah.
And it's with Douglas Wolf, who's a writer. he wrote a review of a James Brown CD on Pitchfork today. I read it on my Blackberry.
cool. What do people have to look forward to with that panel?
I have no idea. It's going to be exactly like this, but without you guys.
Cool.
is there anything else you're looking forward to at Comic-Con? Anything you want to check out?
I'm secretly hoping to see some people cosplaying as Scott Pilgrim characters. that's about as far as I've gone in my show.
Well, that happened at San Diego, right? There were a bunch of people.
There was a couple, yeah. It's always interesting.
It's
I'm hoping it ramps up. Like that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the ramp.
Do you find it flattering or creepy or somewhere in between or?
Yeah. All of the above. No. I think it's really cool. I don't know. I like it. It's neat. It's different.
Cool. Awesome. And there's also a thing. You guys have Scott Pilgrim New York shirts, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's true. We do have those.
Pick them up.
Good call. yeah. There's that, and then there's the books have a special like little band thing on them, a pink paper band, like how you would have like on a Japanese book, I guess, was the idea. That's only going to be at the show and at the two signings, so it says something about New York.
Cool.
Specific.
Nice.
That's cool, and it's obviously been a much hyped book at the con. Is it going
to
be?
I think so. Well, we planned that. We wanted to take this con and just like wrestle it to the ground and make love to it.
Awesome.
I like it.
When are you doing that?
probably after the panel on Sunday. I think it'll be really good. Like we planned the release for this show because it's a bad time to finish a comic book like on the day after New Year's. my holidays were not that good.
Yeah.
So I was busy drawing.
Well, this is like your holiday.
Tell my wife that. it's good. It's good to have it out, and I'm really looking forward to all the events and stuff.
Awesome. Great. And that's it for the Week in Geek. Woo! All right, next thing we're going to do is trivia. Tonight we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage!
This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. This is an opportunity to win $25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free dollars? Simply raise your hand. Come on down. Go on. Yes, shy person mildly raising your hand.
we sometimes like to awkwardly whisper to each other in the middle of the show.
Often, it seems.
Hey, man, what's your name?
I'm John.
John, audience? Audience, John.
Woo!
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't mean to make it awkward for you. So, here we go. How this is going to work is you will get three questions. Listen to all three possible answers. If you get three for three, gift card yours. All right?
Fair enough.
Today's trivia is going to be on Scott Pilgrim.
Wow.
If you're paying attention, it is. No particular reason. Okay. What is the name of Scott's band? Is it A, Sexy Bobs, B, Sex Bobbin, or C, More Sex Please?
I'm going to go with B.
Wow! I might have killed the pronunciation, but you were right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which band member was named after a member of Crosby, Stills, and Nash? Is it A. Scott, B. Steven, or C. Martin Landau? Steven is correct! It's 2 for 2! I haven't even had to give you a hint or anything. You're crushing this. Okay. Which character is based on Mr. O'Malley's former roommate? Is it A. Kim Pine, B. Wallace Wells, or C. Belky Bartakamus?
Wallace.
Correct again! On fire, sir. Nice work. Nice work. Congratulations. $25, $3. Oh, wait, hey, pass.
Hey! Get back here.
There you go. He really wants to hold on to those pass.
Yeah, I know.
Good job, Pete. All right, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to have to say the new Lock and Key.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes. Good answer.
All right, just very quickly for those of you who weren't clapping, Lock and Key is an amazing, amazing, excellent series. Really well done. Pick up.
Besides Scott Pilgrim, of course, looking forward to, I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, Age of Century number 5. Great series. Worth picking up. Fan in the back.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Agents of Atlas.
Oh, yeah.
Agents of Atlas number 1. Really fun series. Should be really enjoyable.
You just pick that. Panic pick.
It's alphabetical.
You just called into question our entire business.
What about Buffy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm also looking forward to, but we choose one thing.
There are rules.
And it's B, and I was starting at A. I didn't get that far down. Brian, what are you looking forward to?
This is a huge list. There was
comics is a
there
big
was something
industry.
I saw the other day that I wanted, but...
Do you sit on a pile of money at home?
I do.
Oh, weird.
And people send me all these books for free, too, so... I usually choose it for my fire.
Oh, wow. Comment on the industry!
Oh my god, Slam Dunk Volume 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There was something else, but I don't know what it was. This list is not organized the same way as the other list I saw.
I'm sorry. Yeah, wait, I like to take it and then I shuffle it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Party shuffle.
I don't really read any superhero comics right now. I think the last superhero comics I collected were Wildcats 3.0, and at the same time I was collecting Powers, and that was like in 2003, 2004. So it's been a while.
Wow, Wildcats 3.0, that was not a lot of people were into that.
I was
into it too.
It was awesome.
It was so much about business. It really was. It was about the corporate like exchange.
It's like one of the few like different new ways I've seen superheroes done.
Yeah.
In you know the past 15 years for her.
Cool. We'll definitely pick that up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 5 years ago.
Let's talk about so you're having a signing at Jim Hanley's tonight, right?
Yeah. We're doing a midnight release party, which is really fascinating. And we'll see if I can stay up 10 minutes later than midnight. And I'm also doing a signing tomorrow at Rocket Ship in Brooklyn.
Awesome. Yes! And
an art show at Rocket Ship.
Yeah, that was really last minute. I sent in some art the other day.
Cool.
So you put it up on the wall.
Great. Right. Yeah. So everybody go trudge over to Jim Hanley's to get your book signed and pick up a copy of the book.
Yeah, somewhere in the city, apparently. I just got here. So,
it's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Rocket ships in
Brooklyn. Oh, shit.
That's really inconvenient.
Yeah.
A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have Tony Lee, who is the, we've had on the show before. He's from England and very charming.
He loves Doctor Who.
Yes. Writes Doctor Who, The Forgotten.
Yep.
So that's cool. We're also going to have Bob Joy, who's the trades editor at Marvel, and he's going to a Valentine's Day themed PowerPoint presentation for you guys.
What?
I don't know how to sell things. Also, you can check us out this weekend and Brian this weekend at New York Comic Con, so please go to that.
Yeah,
and you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Brian for being here.
Yeah!
tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, Thanks, folks.